Yo, Josh, how's your top shot coming along?
I have 19 moments in my account, so almost 20. I
Hey.
mean, after this new pack drop, I'll have 20. So there you go.
True. I don't even have the gift. Maybe we'll do a little giveaway on my account. How about that?
We'll see how many likes. We'll do like the most ridiculous giveaway, like some of these people are doing. Like you have to put in like a meme of an elephant, and then you got to go to this other person's page, and you got to like 15 of their posts that have the letter Y in it. Like, these people doing now. When I see those, I'm just like, all right, that's too much work.
I was just gonna bump the podcast. I was gonna make people follow both accounts.
Create a Discord too.
No. Just
Doing just
follow
to see if
me.
people actually join it just for a moment, like a
Just follow me, follow this
35,000
corner,
moment.
and that's it. It's gonna be like the worst moment ever, too. That's the best
Yeah,
part.
for sure.
Yo,
Get your
Raj, you know how
like.
you said, Raj, you know how you said you wanted to give a to do a giveaway with one of yours?
Yeah.
So they're limiting it now, so you need at least 20 moments to do to gift to somebody.
What?
Yeah, 20. Yeah.
Again,
So
they're putting so many restrictions on this because they know their market is fucked. It's
yeah.
like too volatile. That's the issue.
So I saw like late last night, someone sold, I want to get this right. Someone sold like a holo, I think it was like a Drew Holiday one.
No,
Yeah.
it was Ja.
Oh, it was John Morant, like a 14 out of 99. So
Okay.
the value is like 6,500. And because this guy couldn't gift it to like his cousin or something, he sold it for $5. And like
What?
he had his computer like up next to it so he could like buy it from the other account, right?
Yeah.
Except as soon as he posted it, a bot sniped it. Oh man,
Yeah.
that's it. That's the end of the story. This
Yeah,
guy just
that's
got
hor
sniped by a bot. What's going on, everybody? And welcome back to the Hoops Corner. I'm your host, Peter Tran, and on the line, the Iceman himself, Josh Cohen. How you doing?
Feeling great. Couple more weeks left of the NBA season, then we get in the play-in games. That should be very exciting. And what is that, May 18th or so? So there's a lot of games every night that actually mean something, which is nice.
It's so true. It's weird for this time of the year. The banger in the paint, Rajan Walia, how you feeling?
From now on, I want to be referred to as Clint Capella for all those that listened to last week's pod. But no, I'm feeling good. Like Josh mentioned, the final stretch, we're looking at seeding and how this is going to play out with the play-in game. Should be fun.
So are we going to acknowledge this that Raj created his own nickname? Are we going to let this happen?
I'm surprised he didn't call himself Solomon Hill.
Hey man,
God, that guy's trash.
Solomon Hill.
He's so bad, and I think their second last game they played, he was starting, and he was so bad in the first half. A shorthanded Atlanta team that had like eight or nine guys had to start. I think it was Brandon Goodwin in the second half because Hill was so
Yo, but
awful.
they're getting W's, right? And they're what, the fifth seed?
Yeah, not thanks to Hill.
Hey, you know what? Since he's been in the starting lineup, they're getting W's, so maybe something's going right.
Yeah, ever since Clint Capella started putting up like 18 and 20 every night, also.
Yo,
Forgot to mention that
that
part.
game. So it was against, they were at home against Milwaukee. Somehow they won that game thanks to Bogdan Bogdanovic. Let's be real.
And Lou.
Yeah, that's true. And Herder. Oh man, they got a solid team. Anyways, Solomon Hill's stat line was 2 points and 12 rebounds on 34 minutes, shooting 1 of 8 from the field. 12 rebounds, Josh. That's a strong defensive performance.
Yeah, 1 of 8, Peter. Very strong,
Hey,
very strong.
12 rebounds, my friend. It's not bad.
He was stealing those from Clint.
If Clint didn't have those stone hands, maybe he could grab them, you know?
Yeah, hit his stubs and then he'll just grab them afterwards.
Oh man. All right, guys, I need to ask you this one question before we get started. Is there any league more dejected than Kevin Love is these days? Because I'm sure you guys, everyone's seen the clip by now. The Raptors were playing against the Cavaliers. I think the Raptors scored, and then the ref was throwing back Kevin Love the ball from around the half court mark. And Kevin Love just like you know that move when you're playing pickup and you're just like, oh, like I don't want to inbound the ball. You just slap it down to the floor to your guy. So Kevin Love did that, except he literally just passed it to OG Anunoby instead of, you know, his own teammates. Raj, have you ever seen anyone like so checked out before? Because this dude looks like he's ready for Cancun or Tulum, wherever he's going to go in the offseason.
CeCe, I'm looking at it from a different view. I think this is like an SOS cry from Kevin Love, because otherwise we wouldn't hear about him in the Cavs. And every couple of months, he just does something a bit absurd, whether it's lashing out at the coach, lashing out at teammates, saying he doesn't want to be there. And again, this was just another, hey guys, I'm still in the NBA. Please save me, rescue me from this organization, but I still want to get paid $30 million a year.
Yeah, and the worst part is they can't really do anything now with him. I mean, they could cut him, I suppose, or give him a buyout, but he can't even sign with a playoff team anyway, so it's sort of pointless at this point. So I think what they should do is just, you know, do what Houston did with John Wall and just sit him out the rest of the year and then play the young guys a bunch of minutes, not including Sexton's, just to make sure that they lose every game.
Can't even do that right now, though, right? Because Kevin Love's barely played all year. At least John Wall played the beginning of the year. Kevin Love's played like 18 games. Dude, like, he literally hasn't touched the court. What's the point, you know? You're going to give him $31 million for the year just to chill? Nah. You gotta make him earn some of that money.
Yeah, like, obviously, Love hasn't played. And you have to bring up his value, even if it is pretty much untradeable. And I think also from his perspective, he's going to want to play a bit, because he's been sitting for, what, 8-9 months, even before the lockdown. Kevin Love's probably going to throw another fit if they bench him. So they're kind of in a lose-lose situation.
He's locked in there for another couple of years too, right, Josh? Like, I think he's making 30 for the next 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, any contract is tradable, as we've seen the last couple of years. So maybe they can attach some picks to him. I'm not sure why they would do that at this point, because they are rebuilding. They're trying to lose anyway, so it's not like he's playing well for them. So maybe just continue to play him and then keep losing games.
Yo, they should trade him for John Wall. They're making about the same amount of money.
And then have 3-point guards?
I mean...
Yeah, I was thinking more of having Kelly Olynyk and Kevin Love on the same team. Imagine that locker room.
Oh, yeah, those practices would be tough. You're going to hear a lot of, you know, weird injuries come out of their, you know, injury reports after practice.
Kevin Love might just sit it out because he doesn't want to have another separated shoulder.
Maybe. Or Kevin Love would just absolutely destroy Olynyk in practice.
Yo, have you...
Throws him in like a garbage dumpster.
Have you seen Kelly Olynyk since he's been moved to Houston? My man is putting up numbers. My goodness. He's making Canada basketball proud. That's all I can really say.
So is our guy Lou Dort.
Yeah, you know who's not though, is Shea. I don't think I've seen Shea play basketball in like 4 months at this point.
I want to hear how the whole process works. Like, I've always been really interested, like, in tanking teams with star-level players or guys that they sit out intentionally in order to tank games the rest of the year. What do they tell these guys? Like, oh, we found something, you know, when we looked at you last week. You have plantar fascia. And the guy's like, nah, I'm walking good. I'm fine. No, you're sitting the rest of the year. Just go chill on the bench. You're fine. You can still come to the games. Just you're not going to suit up. Like, how does that work?
It's true. I
always wondered that.
It's like the opposite of the Kawhi Leonard situation in San Antonio. The team was telling him to just come back. And now it's like, no, just chill. Shea, just relax. You know, have a seat.
Yeah, I mean, like, Horford's different, obviously. They just told him to go home. But a guy like Shea, who, like, you know, is trying to improve as a player in his second season, and he played really well in the games that he actually played this year, and then they just tell him, like, you're sitting out the rest of the year. I don't know how that would work, especially with a guy that's, like, as competitive as he probably is, right? He wants to play, but they just won't let him.
Yeah, I think this is an off-season discussion. This is one of those deep dives into the hypothetical world of NBA basketball.
Yeah, we got to find someone on the inside. We got to find a head coach to talk to about this. Like, Mark Daniel, please tell us how you sat Shea.
Hey, even Nick Nurse, right? Like, he sat a bunch of his guys, you know, the last couple of weeks. And obviously, Kyle Lowry rested 3 straight games in a span of like 7 days for rest purposes, which made no sense. And they got fined for it. So, yeah. You know, another topic for another day, obviously. But that was really interesting. I just wanted to bring that up. So,
yeah. I wonder if they would have gotten fined if Kyle Lowry didn't come out and say, I'm very healthy. Like, no, you don't understand. I'm very, very healthy and rested. Kyle,
yeah.
Kyle snitching on the team. For shame, my man. But let's move on. We came up with a segment. This is Raj's idea, and I really like this, so I wanted to run with it. It's things that are harder to believe. The idea is I'm going to give you guys a couple of topics, and you got to tell me, like, at the beginning of the year, if I told you this, which would have been harder for you to believe? Like, the first one would be how awful, 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 awful the Boston Celtics are. Josh, your championship contender call from the beginning of the year. As opposed to how good the Atlanta Hawks are. You know, Raj, your favorite team, but the Atlanta Hawks were supposed to come in as maybe a playoff contender, maybe an 8th or 7th seed to play in the play-in tournament. But they're pretty well put in, like, the 4th or 5th spot right now. Raj, man, which one is harder for you to believe?
I think watching the Celtics kind of take a few steps backward is, for me, harder to believe. They aren't playing very good basketball, and every part of the year we're always like, oh, once they get Kemba back, once Marcus Smart comes back, once Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum recover from COVID, once they get some more bench depth, once they figure out their center position, like, we can go on with the list of excuses, but they're not playing great basketball. They can beat any team in the NBA if they play their best basketball, but they haven't been doing that consistently. So it's just hard to believe that this team, who had made 3 straight years of deep playoff runs, really struggle, and they might find themselves in a play-in game if they continue with their struggles.
Yeah, I think it is the Celtics, but it's for all the reasons that you mentioned, right? Like, it's really disappointing to see how their season's gone based on the injuries and COVID-related protocols and guys getting COVID. So I think that explains why they're doing so poorly, but at the same time, when they've had a majority of their roster, they really haven't looked as good as everyone thought they would. But again, that might just come down to chemistry and being able to play together for more than 2 games at a time. Because it seems like every game, somebody's sitting out, like one of their main players. Like, even yesterday, all their main guys were sitting out, basically, except for Brown.
And Smart.
And they lost to Oklahoma City.
They had Marcus yesterday. It didn't seem like it, but they had Marcus yesterday.
Yeah, Peyton Pritchard's putting up 28 points, and they still lose. I mean, both teams Nike lost endorsed. That game.
What was that, Rush?
Nike endorsed Peyton Pritchard.
Ooh, good for him. Smart man. Yeah, the Celtics are just, they're sad, man. How much of this are we chalking up to a Tristan Thompson surgence on this team? Because if I recall, Raj, I think you were in on it too, but I remember Josh and I being so high on Tristan Thompson going to the Celtics, being like that big man that could help battle the Embiids and, you know, the Giannises of the East. But realistically, Tristan Thompson has looked more of a detriment to this team than anything else.
Yeah, see, I have a few words, or I think 3 letters, TMZ, that I can attribute Tristan Thompson's play to, because you just got to go on TMZ and figure out that he's probably back with Chloe and he's a bit distracted. So I think in the right situation with the right mindset, he could have helped this team. But otherwise, I think he's kind of been a net negative. Like, he's been so inconsistent this year. Having him kind of made them be forced to move off of Daniel Theis for salary cap reasons. So I honestly think he hasn't helped them out.
Yeah. I mean, the reports that came out about him a couple weeks ago with, you know, a bunch of his fellow teammates basically saying off the record that he's been going out nonstop and, you know, he's been getting into, you know, nightclubs and such, and thus being put in the safety protocols multiple times, probably getting COVID during that time as well, based on how long he was out for. I think he was out for like 3 weeks at one point. So he just hasn't shown any commitment to the game this year, to be honest. He'd rather go to, you know, the Kardashian private island they had where they invited all their friends and family for a couple weeks rather than, you know, actually play, you know, basketball games with this team. So it's pretty sad. But, you know, the Celtics, if they're a lower seed, like, nobody's going to really still want to play them. Like, do you really want to play them if you're Philadelphia in the first round? Probably not. You want to play a more inexperienced team, obviously. They still have, like, 2 really good players. Kemba Walker, who's starting to look more like Kemba Walker in some games. Marcus Smart's always a deterrent. So they got some guys. It's just a matter of getting healthy and, like, playing together for more than 3 games.
I'm not a believer, but I think they can still cause some teams some problems in the playoffs.
Yeah, I foresee, I would see like a 6-game series in the first round against any of the top three, and that's about it. My next question for you guys is, which is more believable? Julius Randle leading the New York Knicks to a 4 seed and being in the MVP conversation, or PJ Tucker finally being moved out of Houston and being a defensive anchor for the Milwaukee Bucks?
I mean, PJ Tucker is definitely more believable for sure. I mean, he hasn't played in that many games so far for the Bucks, but in the games that he has played, in like the limited minutes when they've experimented with that 5-man unit where they have either him or Giannis at the 5, they've looked really good, and their switching is actually a lot better in the last 20 games than it was the previous 30 or 40. I mean, the Julius Randle thing, nobody saw coming. That's like probably the most unbelievable part of this season, to be honest. Like, he's always a good player, but you never really saw him ever putting it together at this point. He's already, I mean, he's in his prime now. He's, what, 27 or 26 somewhere years old? There. But he always played a pretty selfish game, and his defense was never there. And now he's making, like, really, he's a primary ball handler on their team, right? Like, he's making all the decisions. He's basically, sort of like Zach Randolph mixed in with, I don't know, like Lamar Odom or something, you know? It's like a mix of those two. He gets the ball in like the high post, and he can do basically anything. He back you down if he has like a smaller guy on him. Or if he doesn't, then he just brings out the, like, he was scoring 30 plus points against OG Anunoby in the other game. And he's hitting like pull-up jumpers off the dribble, hitting 5 threes. He's shooting 40% from the 3-point line. Like, I don't know. I don't understand how that's happening.
He sounds like prime LeBron, right, Rush?
Yeah, exactly. Well, he's playing like it, and I think the Knicks, if you squint hard enough, his jersey number looks like a 23. I honestly, like, it's hard to believe that Randle's had this big of an impact, and especially because they're winning. It's not like he's putting up good numbers and he's putting up a very good, I think the most improved player is going to go to him. It's already a lock. Yeah. But it's not just that. It's the fact that they're winning and they're pushing some good teams and they're not an easy out. And I think a lot of teams in the playoffs, if they're matching up against the Knicks, you're like, damn, we have to kind of go through Randle. I think that's the hardest thing for me to believe this year, and that would trump anything. Honestly, I think PJ Tucker was going to go to a contender anyways, especially once they gave up on Harden. It was just a matter of which contender was he going to go to? Was he going to go to Miami? Was he going to go to the Bucks, potentially the Clippers, Lakers? Like, he was going to go to a top team regardless because the style of basketball he plays. So Randle easily takes this one next.
One last point. The Knicks right now are sitting at 34-28 in the fourth spot, tied with Atlanta. We don't see this team going to the sixth spot, do we? Falling 2 games back to be Boston with the way they're rolling? I can't foresee
the Knicks or the Hawks. Bad.
Sorry?
The Knicks or the Hawks?
The Knicks. Can't see them falling that far back, can we?
I mean, it depends on how the rest of the season goes for those teams in terms of injuries, really, and their schedule coming up. I'm not sure which team has a better strength of schedule, but obviously Boston's going through some tough times right now, having to sit, you know, different players every second game. I mean, Kemba's not playing back-to-backs anyway, but the fact they're sitting Tatum in some of these games and Brown in some of these games, it's not really ideal for them. That's why they're not going to win as many games as you would think over the course of the regular season.
Yeah. All right. Moving on. Last year, the champion of the Eastern Conference, Miami Heat, being in the play-in tournament, or our beloved 2019 NBA champion Toronto Raptors being out of the play-in tournament. Raj, which one is harder to believe?
Oof, this is a tough one. See, you know what? I'm going to let Josh go first.
I think it's more unbelievable that Miami would be in this position right now because, as we mentioned,
really?
Going back, yeah, I think
really,
so.
Josh.
A lot of people
can
that
we
were
replay
not,
a segment.
A lot of people that were segment. Not homers like me saw Toronto as, you know, taking a step down because of the center position, which is something that, you know, I thought that Baines would do a half decent job, sort of like what Ken Burch is doing right now, like put up, you know, 10 points, 8 rebounds, be solid on defense, just not be a negative out there, you know, and he hasn't done that. And that's why they've really, really, you know, suffered this season. And obviously with the fact that they're in Tampa Bay now, they've had COVID issues more than any team, I think, in the NBA. So I still like Toronto's roster going forward. It's just they've had the season from hell, obviously. But a lot of people did see that, you know, this is probably coming for the Raptors based on their situation. And then also most people saw them as like a play-in type of team between 7 and 10. And with Miami, like people thought that they may be able to come back and win the championship this year or at least make the finals again. They were like, oh, maybe this is not a fluke. Like Miami's got two really, really good players in Butler and Adebayo, and they have a really solid supporting cast and they shoot the lights out. But, you know, going back to what we talked about a few podcasts ago, like them losing Jay Crowder has actually been one of the biggest key acquisitions for, you know, Phoenix, obviously, as well.
Yeah, like for me, I'm going to go the opposite way. And I wanted Josh to say that the bigger surprise was the Raptors not doing well. Because there was moments in the season where I think Josh was like, what? The Raptors aren't going to make the playoffs? Like, you're kidding me. Like, you think there's going to be six other teams that are going to beat out the Raptors. And you know what? I think there's like eight or nine now that are ahead of the Raptors.
They're in 12th place. But
I think we all assumed that Philly and Milwaukee would have been ahead of them. But I think, and also I guess Brooklyn, but I think the Raptors have been a bit of a disappointment, and obviously we can chalk that up to injuries and having missed games due to COVID and not playing at home. But the way I look at the Heat is I think the Heat are in a similar position. And even last year, the Heat were a bit of an underdog. They were able to put it together in the bubble, really get all cylinders clicking and put on a great playoff run to make it to the finals. And I still think they're in prime position to do that, and I think they're valuing the playoffs a lot more. I don't think they're playing Jimmy Butler as much. Like, it took him almost like 5 to 10 games to get into the season, and their team is, I would say, significantly older with the additions of Iguodala, Ariza. So I think they're really focusing on the playoffs, and obviously they don't want to be playing in that play-in game, but I think that's kind of the way they're playing about it. So I'm more surprised that the Raptors are this bad.
I don't see how you can say that Miami's in prime position to possibly win a few rounds or make it back to the finals when they're going to have to play their way in, first of all. And then they're going to have to play Brooklyn or Philadelphia in the first round.
Well, that's assuming that they don't get the sixth seed, right? They're tied right now with Boston for the 6 and 7 spot. So that could, obviously, that's going to change, end up changing at some point, but I can foresee them going into the six and then like having a Miami-Milwaukee series all over again for round one.
I think in that case, if that happens again, Milwaukee's going to win in 5 or 6 games.
Yeah, I can't see Milwaukee just bending over again. Not against the team.
I think the better question is, would you rather see Charlotte in the playoffs this year, or would you rather see Washington in the playoffs this year? And say this is a Brooklyn matchup.
So they're in the 8th seed against Brooklyn.
Yes. Woo. I think it's an easy answer. Even though it'd be fun to see Charlotte and everything, but Russ versus KD, that'd be nice.
Rui versus Harden.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Rui. Robin Lopez versus DeAndre Jordan.
Rui probably won't even touch the floor. That's the worst part, man. I can't wait to see Daniel Gafford against Nick Claxton. That's going to be my matchup.
Oh, yeah. The matchup everyone's been waiting for.
I love that we haven't mentioned Bradley Beal yet. Just the NBA's leading scorer.
Bradley Beal versus Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, versus Kai. Thank you. Kai. Yeah, I mean, going back to Toronto, Raj did... This was the one hot take that Raj had that was correct this year. Calling that the Raptors would be out.
The one, eh?
Yeah, sorry. I remember that very clearly. We all chopped him up, and you know, good for you, Raj. Good call. Miami will be a force in the playoffs, though. I predict they get out of the first round, assuming they play.
Are you crazy, again,
dude? Why? Depending on who they play, if they play Brooklyn, I love that matchup. Watch.
You think they're going to beat Brooklyn but not beat Milwaukee? I'm confused.
Yeah, no. Losing to a team 2 years in a row is a different story than losing 1 year. Plus, they have P.J. Tucker.
And you think they're going to beat a super team.
They have P.J. Tucker and Drew Holiday, Josh. That defense is toy.
And you think they're going to beat Brooklyn?
Yeah, dude, I think they match up really well.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is a very explosive
Scorchy.
Take.
Scorchy. It's heat.
I hope this happens.
It's very heaty. Now, moving on. Josh, you're going to love this one. The Phoenix Suns locking in a top three seed in the West.
Who could have seen that one coming?
Nobody. Or...
yeah, except for one guy.
Or, yeah, Chris Paul. Or the New Orleans Pelicans being out of the play-in tournament. Josh, just have your time.
No, I mean, come on. I mean, I called it at the start of the season. You look at the Oklahoma City roster versus the Phoenix roster. Which one is better? Phoenix is definitely better. And they have a bona fide superstar now in Devin Booker. They have DeAndre Ayton, who's like totally bought into his role as a defensive big man who just catches lobs and finishes plays. And, you know, the role players have all, you know, decided that...
Jay Crowder?
Crowder's been okay. Let's just not get crazy.
He's been excellent.
Cam Johnson's been better.
Crowder's been excellent.
Torrey Craig's been better recently as well. Maybe Crowder's going to lose his spot in the rotation soon. You never know.
Impossible.
But I think that, you know, Phoenix is a surprise for a lot of people, not me. Because every team that Chris Paul goes to, he makes them way, way better. Which is shown in the records if you compare them year by year. I mean, he's had one of the highest win percentages probably ever of any player. New Orleans being where they are, I don't think that's a surprise to anybody. Like, even myself before the season started, I figured they'd be in this type of range where they might be a play-in team. But their roster isn't quite built, especially when you have like Lonzo and Eric Bledsoe in the backcourt. It just didn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with Josh and say that the harder thing to believe is Phoenix. Just because, not because I didn't think that they would not be a playoff team. It's just the fact that they're the number two seed in the West. They're playing great basketball. And the fact that they're able to put it together so quickly, because heading into the bubble, they were, what, 8-0 in the bubble, I believe?
You guys were killing me for calling them a top five seed this season. You're like, nah, no, wait, Phoenix? No.
No, that's why I'm saying it's harder to believe that they're a top two or three seed this year. I thought they would be closer to like a 7-8 seed, maybe a 6. But the fact that they're able to really get it together quickly, that, you know what, Josh, I'll give you this one, but you're also equally as wrong about the Raptors. So you take one, you lose one.
I didn't realize the quality of life in Tampa Bay was going to be so terrible for them.
That's pretty funny, actually. Yeah, I don't think... very few people actually thought Phoenix would be this good. I mean, Chris Paul going anywhere in his first year has always been excellent, but like to be a two seed? Quite surprising, nonetheless.
If he gets traded back to OKC next year, they're going to be a top five seed.
Yo, if somehow Toronto trades for him, they might win the championship again.
It's very true.
Nah, I'm just kidding. The last question I have to pose to you guys, which is harder to believe, Nicholas Batum being an effective rotation player all over again, or LeBron missing more than 2 weeks of a season? Josh, which is harder to believe?
LeBron missing more than 2 weeks of the season, because it's basically never happened to where he actually had an actual injury, you know? Like, he sat out because he wanted to go to Miami for a couple weeks and chill and do his workouts and such.
That was 2 weeks. That's why I said 2 weeks.
Yeah, but he wasn't really injured, though. Like, he's actually injured this time. Yeah. He never gets injured. He's like a robot.
Yeah.
You know? But I think a couple of us called before the season that, you know, Nicholas Batum is going to be the new Boris Diaw, right?
Yep.
I was both French.
I was there with you.
They're both on Charlotte, terrible team. And they're both just chilling after they got their money. Like, it's so similar, right? And then they go to this winning environment and they play like they used to. And like, he's not quite where he was before, where he was like near averaging a triple double in some games. But he's been a very positive contributor, and he was a starter for them for the first part of the year. And, you know, he took Marcus Morris's spot for a while until recently, obviously. So he's been a very nice contributor.
Raj, you don't agree?
Absolutely not. I think the harder thing to believe is the fact that Nicholas Batum has been resurrected. But let's just go back to the LeBron James injury. You were hating earlier on my boy Solomon Hill, but he did NBA God's work by being involved in that injury. So that's his contribution to the season. And you know what? If we have a great NBA playoffs, we all have to thank Solomon Hill. But going back to Nicholas Batum, I think the fact that he's played this well has been a surprise. He's probably been one of the more consistent players for the Clippers in terms of just playing the whole regular season. He's been playing roughly 25 to 30 minutes a game. He's kind of doing a jack of all trades. And obviously defensively, he's not as the player he once was, but he's still holding up his own. And you know what? This Clippers team is dangerous, and part of their success has to come down to Batum being a jack of all trades.
Okay, last question for you guys I just thought of. Which random wing player would you want on your championship contender team? Nicholas Batum, Jay Crowder, Andre Iguodala, or Trevor Ariza?
Oh, God.
Which one of these guys do you want? All formerly good players, you know, like guys who were in the rotation, had big parts on like good teams in the past. Who would you want on your team?
For me, it's easy. It has to be Jay Crowder.
Yeah.
The fact that he's probably the youngest of the bunch, and he's probably still the most athletic, and he gives you a bit of versatility. He's recently played starters minutes in the NBA Finals with the Miami Heat. He's playing, I would say, a pretty big role in Phoenix's success, and he's a good player. I think he's undervalued and underappreciated by some on this pod, but I think right now I would take Jay Crowder.
I love that you took that question seriously. This is great. Josh?
I mean, I'd probably take Crowder too, but I like Batum, so give me a Batum.
No love for Trevor Ariza, eh? Jesus, this guy stayed in shape while he didn't play basketball for like a year and a half, and no love. Come on, guys.
If this was 2009.
I like that. All right, Josh, you got some stats corner for us?
Yeah, I got a couple things this week. So we've been talking about, you know, some of the hotter teams in the NBA. So on that note, can you name the top five defenses from the past 3 weeks in NBA basketball?
3 weeks?
The last 3 weeks. Which teams are the best defenses? Have you been watching?
Let me start off with the New York team for Daryl Wong, the New York Knicks.
They are number five at a 108.9 defensive rating.
It's not bad.
I will be very impressed if you get number one, which means that you've actually been paying attention.
How about the Phoenix Suns?
No, the Phoenix Suns the last few weeks, due to their East Coast trip, are way down the list. They're at number 21.
Oof.
They're scoring a lot, but not playing a lot of defense.
Number one, eh? Is it the Washington Wizards?
Oh, there you go. 106.4.
Oh, wow.
10-2 record the last 12 games.
Crazy. Russell Westbrook.
Daniel Gafford.
Yeah, Daniel Gafford. The other day, Daniel Gafford had like a 4-block, 3-steal game. And I was like, my God, this guy's an animal. How did Chicago just let him go?
Yeah, Chicago's going to do Chicago things.
Truth.
What about the LA Lakers?
Lakers are number 10.
Oof. Yo, shout out to the Lakers.
Getting closer.
They've been still really good without AD and LeBron. Like, AD just came back, but they've been very good defensively without him and LeBron in there. Very impressive stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they were number 2 with those guys gone still, but their offense was just, ugh.
Trash. Terrible. Clippers?
Clippers are number 12. Oof. The other three teams are Western Conference teams, all within the playoff picture.
Oh. Well, I can tell you it's not the Portland Trail Blazers, that's for damn sure.
Yeah. I'm guessing they're last.
Yeah, they have to be bottom not. Five.
We'll get what to about that afterwards.
The Denver
actually.
Nuggets.
Denver is 18.
Hmm.
Wow. I'm very bad at this.
Did we say the Jazz?
Nope, you haven't said the Jazz yet, but they are number 3. They're 6-5 record, but they have a 107 defensive rating.
Yeah, it's just third best. They just can't score without Mitchell out there. Big loss.
Mm.
Maybe an MVP.
Relax.
All right, so we got 2 and 4 left.
You got 2 and 4 left, and both of those teams are play-in teams.
Rush?
Can't be the San Antonio Spurs.
Spurs are number 4, 6-6 record, but they have a 108 defensive rating.
Wow. I did not expect that.
They're coming in.
Wow. That's a strong defense. Play-in game, a team? Can it be the Golden State Warriors behind Draymond Green?
Yes. The Golden State Warriors, who lost by 1,000 points last night, are 8-3 in their last 11, and they're 106 defensive rating. Steve Kerr called it the most important game of the year last year, yesterday, and they put up a stinker.
So. Very important.
But they're still 8-3 in the last 11.
Oh, man. Well, they're basically secured for the play-in tournament anyway, so it doesn't really matter. I guess they could get to the 8th spot and only need to win one game instead of two.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's going to happen at this point, but we'll see.
Nope.
And quickly, can you name the bottom five defenses?
Then I just hit the Trailblazers.
Let's go.
Trailblazers, yes. They are the fifth worst.
Damn.
Okay, what about the Orlando Magic?
They are the worst. Ooh. 120 defensive.
Yes,
rating.
Sir.
The Kevin Love Cavaliers, let's go.
The Kevin Love Cavaliers, I don't believe they are in the bottom five.
Wow.
No, they are not. Number 16.
Wow.
The Minnesota Timberwolves.
Second worst, 118 defensive rating, though they are 5-6 in their last 11 games.
Yeah, man. They have a positive record with D'Angelo Russell and Karl Anthony Towns. Yo, Russell coming off the bench? Great idea by Chris Finch. Not just throwing him
yeah,
in.
Yeah, bringing a $30 million player off the bench. Hey, great idea.
Hey, man, he's there to get buckets. That's all they need him for. In line with that, the Houston Rockets got to be pretty bad.
Yes, they are third worst. Another 118 defensive rating. And last, you have the worst defense, I think, in the history of the NBA. If I'm not mistaken.
Shout out, Vivek, the Sacramento Kings.
Yes.
Raj loves hating on the Kings, man. Just because they don't play Bagley.
Deserved.
All right.
When he's even healthy enough to play.
Yeah.
Which is never.
Bagley definitely needs a new home. Let's get that guy to a decent team. Some decent coaching and not goddamn Luke Walton. Maybe he'll actually be something.
Get him on the Spurs. Get Pop to get his whole hands on him.
Yo, imagine Bagley on the Celtics instead of Tristan Thompson.
I think their defense would fall off a cliff, but
the defense is already bad. Tristan Thompson doesn't.
Yeah, it can get a lot worse, though.
Nah, man. You have him and Robert Williams out there instead of like Grant Williams. That'd be a good lineup.
Yeah, you but the problem
on the
is
Celtics instead of Thompson, Daniel Tice,
or Thaddeus Young.
Yeah, Thaddeus Young would be great.
Yeah.
All right, that's it for Stats Corner.
That's it. Unless you want to name the best offenses in the last 3 weeks, but that's up to you.
Nah, save that for next week. Or come up with something better, Josh.
I'll try.
All right, well, I guess that's it. That's all. I want to thank everyone for listening. Please remember to rate and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Give us those 5 stars. Give us those comments. We're on all the other podcast platforms. We're talking Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Hoops Corner Pod. And until next time, peace.